Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
All right, welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. We've got a special episode this week. We're going to be reviewing Solo, A Star Wars Story, because this week we have no teaser trailer like we normally do, because we're going to be reviewing a film from the 1930s on Wednesday, and they didn't have trailers back then. But let me bring in my co-host, JD. JD, how are you, man? Oh, that's, you're going to have to get that Chewbacca better. There you go. There you go. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I'm excited to dig into talking about Solo a little bit, though, you know?
Yeah, I'm interested to hear your feedback, and we're going to dive right into that as we kind of go along here. But I want to start by just giving a quick thank you to you guys for hitting the download button and taking some time out of your day to listen to us talk some Star Wars. The best way you guys can help support this podcast is to make sure you hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or YouTube. It doesn't cost you anything. That's going to make sure that you get every single episode free of charge. You can also follow us on social media at Back in Time Pod. I'm at KAutry29, and Justin is at Unjust Justin. It's a clever name, I know. Let's dive into it, man. I'm excited to talk some Solo. I saw it opening day on Friday morning. And we have not discussed any of it, so I don't know if you liked it, if you hated it. Let's start by just, you know, give me some feedback into what was your mindset going into this? What day did you watch it? And we'll take it from there.
Yeah, good place to start. So personally, my mindset coming into Solo was that I was going to absolutely hate it. I had zero expectations. I had zero positive hope. Man, I just pretty much just wasn't looking forward to seeing it. It was like, I did not want to see this movie. Okay. So I saw it opening weekend on that Sunday. And I mean, if you're ready for my initial response, man, I was pleasantly surprised.
Good. That's good to hear. And I know we had talked kind of months before the movie came out, and there was a lot of changes, and was that part of the reason why your expectations were so low, or was it based off of one of their previous entries into the canon?
My expectations were so low. Here's the thing for me when it comes to these Star Wars prequel movies. You're shoehorning them in with characters that we already know in situations that we're aware of. So there's no stakes to it. Like, we know that Han Solo's going to be okay. We know that nothing can happen to him in this movie, that he's ever really in any danger. He's fine. When we first meet him in A New Hope, guess what? He's alive, he's cocky, and he's kicking. So anything that we see in this movie, it's just kind of like eating a cheeseburger. It's just a way to get by with some cheap entertainment. And I felt the same way with Rogue One. I mean, I thought the action and, you know, everything that they did with the movie was pretty fantastic. But at the end of the day, it was just kind of like, well, I know what's going to happen to every character in this movie, so I kind of don't give a damn.
Okay. Yeah, you make a really good point, because even as he's facing a little adversity in the film, I mean, like you said, there's no worry that he's going to die, and there's no worry that he's not going to end up with the Falcon. Like, we know that's going to happen. There's no other way to tell that story. So the only thing they could do was kind of try and shock you with these you know, smaller characters, and they do some of that. We're going to talk about that as we kind of go along and go through the cast a little bit. What did you like the most about the movie, and what did you dislike the most?
Well, I gotta say, I really think Woody Harrelson's a fantastic actor. Like, I've always liked him, and I've always liked everything that he's done. But there was something about him in this movie that really just sort of stuck out to me. And I was like, okay, he knows what the hell he's doing when he's getting into a role. Like, he's pretty good. And his part definitely stuck out to me. I don't know if we're trying to avoid some spoilers or not, but there was some stuff towards the end that I was kind of like really geeking out over.
Yeah, we'll give a spoiler warning here in a minute. So stay away from it for just a little bit. So what did you dislike the most? So you liked Woody.
Yeah, so for me, there was definitely two parts that sort of fell flat, and that was Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, and whatever his nut's name is that played Han Solo. For what it's worth, I'm not a fan of Donald Glover to begin with. I don't find him funny. I don't get his charm. I know a lot of people really respond positively to him, and that's fantastic. But in this movie, like, it was a waste, I think. Like, he was trying to act like Billy Dee Williams, and sometimes he sounded like Billy Dee Williams, but it just made me want the original. And so seeing him in that role just felt forced to me. And the same with, what's this kid's name? Eldridge Heinrich?
Alden Heinrich. Or maybe it might be Aaron Rich. Not sure of how he pronounces it, but either way, his first name's Alden.
The point being, he's not Harrison Ford. And when we first meet Han Solo in A New Hope, we see Harrison Ford as a young, dynamic, up-and-coming actor. And that's who we fell in love with as Han Solo. And so to rewind it a little bit and put a different face to it, there's just no way that that actor can bring the role to life the same way that Harrison Ford did.
It's a tough job for anybody. I did not dislike him, though. I thought he did pretty good. I didn't feel like he was a copycat. I thought he was his own version of Han Solo. In his accent and stuff is not forced. I think he's a Southern dude. So he's got a little bit of twang to his voice, which so does Harrison Ford. So I think that was just casting, just trying to get somebody that sounded like him a little bit. And that might be the same thing with Donald Glover, although, yeah, his was more of an accent for me. But I have to admit, like, that was a little bit of a disappointment. I kind of expected him to steal the show as Lando because they were promoting it as such. And I did not think that he did that at all.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I would have loved for this role for Donald Glover to have turned me into a fan. Like, I would have loved to walk out of that theater and be like, holy shit, I now understand him. That just wasn't the case.
He's very popular, though. I don't know if you know his other persona, the Childish Gambino. He's got a song on YouTube that's got 230 million clicks on it. So,
yeah, no, and
I don't like it though. It sucks. The music.
I watched the music video. I understood what he was trying to do and what he was trying to accomplish artistically and musically. And I would be happy to give him a high five, but right. I agreed with you. I thought it sucked.
But also, like, I listen to like Blink 182 and like Foo Fighters, so of course, like, I'm not gonna like that kind of music.
That's a good point.
Not my cup of tea. But let's move into a little bit more of the casting. So we've kind of covered Han Solo, we've covered Lando. What'd you think of Chewbacca, played by Jonas Suotamo, who's a former basketball player, legit 7-footer?
Yeah, no, I thought Chewie was one of the parts in this movie that really shined for me. I thought it was really cool to sort of see the friendship between Han and Chewie. I thought the guy did a fine job. I mean, I don't know what kind of acting chops you need to be in the Wookiee costume and just pump your arms, but
right.
No, I thought I had no issues with anything that they did with Chewbacca.
Yeah, no, I thought he was really good. I did like his origin story. I thought that was a nice little add-in. We've talked a little bit about Woody Harrelson as Beckett. What about Emilia Clarke as Kira?
I did not realize that that was the chick from Game of Thrones until days later.
Yeah. I'm not a Game of Thrones watcher, but I know that that's what she's from, as well as the terrible Terminator sequel, where she played Linda Hamilton's character.
Which one is that?
Yeah, she was in the latest, the Terminator Genesis movie that was a little bit of a flop. And I also read that she was really happy that it flopped because the set apparently was like just terrible to be part of. And nobody wanted the film to go for a second.
That's funny. Yeah, I stopped at T3. I never made it beyond that one in the franchise, and I don't know that I ever will. So hopefully there's no not too many future Terminator episodes.
Yeah, we've got T2 Judgment Day, and I think that'll be the last one we cover, at least on this podcast. Now, if we start one about terrible sequel podcast, maybe something different might get into it. Who knows? But yeah, so you liked her, though? You thought she was good?
Yeah, I thought her character had a certain complexity to it. I thought her acting was decent enough. I don't think that they oversold her in any regard as being a throwaway sex symbol. And I thought she seemed strong enough. And I know that it's rumored that they're hoping and planning on doing two more movies in the solo series. So I would only assume that her character would be fleshed out a little bit more and we get to learn some of that mysterious backstory. And I was kind of interested to how she got from where she was to where she is, because she seemed to do it by brute force and cunning, which is, you know, mirrors Han Solo's own journey.
Do you have any other characters you want to talk about? Dryden Voss. We've got Rio Durant, which was voiced by Jon Favreau, Val, L337.
Can we complain about the robot a little? L3 was annoying as hell.
I didn't understand the relationship. That was a little weird for me. Her and Lando. That, I don't know. That confused me, and I was like, okay, one of these writers has some serious issues.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know what that brings to the table. You know, like having read some of the articles coming out before the movie commenting on Lando's sexuality. I got Han on the brain. Yeah, I was kind of curious to what they were going to do, and I thought they were going to set up a little bit more between him and Han. And I was a little surprised that there was so much setup between him and a robot. I just don't understand the value of what that brings to the story.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about it either. Jon Favreau, I love Jon Favreau, but I honestly did not realize that was him as Rio Durant until 4 or 5 minutes into actually hearing him talk. I know he doesn't have a ton of screen time, but I was like, is that Jon Favreau? It sounds like him. I don't know. That didn't do much for me either.
No, but I thought that character was pretty neat.
Not that I didn't like the character, I just... When I found out it was his voice, I was like, but it didn't really sound like his voice that much. I don't know if you can get more. Star Wars has so many good voiceover people. I just was a little underwhelmed by that one.
Okay, so I agree with you 100%. And the comparison that I'll make is I feel the same way in the MCU with Guardians of the Galaxy when Bradley Cooper is voicing Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
I love Bradley Cooper. I think he's a phenomenal actor. He could be funny. He could be serious. He could be a heartthrob. He's got it, you know? But when I watch Rocket Raccoon on the screen, I never once think like, oh my gosh, that's Bradley Cooper. I don't feel that any of his humor as an actor comes out in that character.
Okay. Then last thing I want to talk about as far as casting goes is the director. I think he had a really tough job, Ron Howard, of being kind of thrown into this. I believe I read that he filmed 70%, but, you know, 30% of this really isn't his movie. So what did you think of the job by Ron Howard and the overall direction that he took it?
So for what it's worth, to know that he came in halftime and he replaced the starting quarterback to lead the team to victory, I think he probably did as best of a job as that he could have done. And, you know, like, while I do say that I did enjoy this movie overall, I'd probably give it like a 6 out of 10 tops.
I was going 7 out of 10.
It would pain me to see what version they were initially going to release before they brought him in, for them to have to go pull out one of the biggest guns in Hollywood and say, Ron Howard, for the love of everything holy, please save us.
Kathleen Kennedy is known to do that. She's done that on other projects. We're going to talk about this in about 7 or 8 episodes when we get into Back to the Future, how they recast Marty McFly after filming most of the movie. So she's not afraid to like pull a star or pull a director from a project if it's not working. So kudos for her, to her, for having the gall to just say, hey, this isn't working. Thank you for your time. We're going to go another direction.
Well, and I think she took a lot of flack for what happened with The Last Jedi, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, definitely.
And again, we've hinted at our thoughts and emotions about that movie. And, you know, that was helmed by one of my favorite writer and directors in Rian Johnson. And he just did a piss poor job. So, you know, just let's call Ron Howard and Clint Howard. Let's get the Howard brothers in there every single time we need to make some magic happen.
Oh, my gosh. How great was the Clint Howard cameo?
I don't know why I was surprised by it, because obviously he had to be in it. But I was like in awe. I loved it. It was so good.
That might have been my favorite moment of the film when he popped on. I almost jumped out of my chair. I was just like, yes, get it, baby. I don't know why I get so excited when he pops up.
Were you expecting it?
No, I guess I wasn't. I mean, thinking back, I mean, I should have.
Yeah, we should have expected it. I mean, Ron always throws his brother a bone.
Kind of love the loyalty. The other thing I thought which was really cool, another cameo that caught me back, was the leprechaun, Warwick Davis. The future episode.
Was very happy to see Willow in there.
Yeah, and he was in Last Jedi as a completely different character. Now he's in Solo as his character name is Weasel. He was in Force Awakens as Wolovan. I mean, it seems like he always finds a way onto the Star Wars set. And I know he's somebody that, you know, is very big into the franchise. And again, Leprechaun, it's a future episode. I can't wait. But yeah, I think this was his 4th or 5th Star Wars movie that he's been part of. Kudos to him. That was exciting to see him. Let's talk some box office numbers, man. I don't know what the projections were off the top of my head. I know that they were expecting to do pretty well. This movie kind of came out of the gate a little slow. So it's got a $300 million budget. It did $84 million in week one. And then if you add in the extra day for Memorial Day weekend, they end up doing $103. And then this week, they've dropped all the way to $29 million. And I can't imagine they're not gonna bounce back, because we've got some big hitters coming up in the next couple weeks. It's gonna probably take this thing out of the top 10. So we're looking at total gross to date right now. If you add in the international box office, which has also been a little underwhelming, they're at $264 million worldwide. Are you surprised at all that the movie's not doing well numbers wise?
I'm not surprised by it underwhelming. I've kind of been hoping to see some decline in some of these more big ticket box office movies, to try to get studios to be more accountable for the content that they create. Again, I think Solo was a lazy way to cash in on a mega franchise. So I really hope that they take this as not a defeat, but as an opportunity to go back as a studio and say, how can we better produce quality movies?
That's a great point. And just to give you something to compare it to, I won't count The Last Jedi. Let's go back to Rogue One. So Rogue One, over the first 10 days, did $286 million. Again, Solo right now is at $148. So, I mean, they've dropped off $140 million, and they added $100 million to the budget. So, Rogue One cleared $1 billion. I don't know. I mean, this thing will make back $300, but I don't think it's going to hit $500. I'd be surprised if it hit $500.
I really hope not. I don't think it has the legs for that. I don't think the schoolyard effect is nearly as powerful in today's cinema as it was 20 years ago.
I mean, we saw with Jumanji, it can still happen, but I think it's happening if it happens now, it's almost more of like a negative effect. It's not a positive one. It's like people go online and bash it, and everybody's like, oh, I'll wait for Redbox or Netflix. And they just don't go spend their money to watch it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's our culture teetering on instant gratification like that.
Yeah. And I don't, for me, this is not a movie where I'm telling people don't go see it. I thought it was fun. 7 out of 10. I always call that like, that's a happy 7. I didn't hate the movie. I didn't love the movie, but I had a good time.
Hollywood is producing and has for a number of years. This isn't a new trend. But, I mean, when you're hungry and you're lazy and you just want something in your stomach, you go to McDonald's. You're not going to get the best burger, but you're going to be satisfied and you're going to get the McGurgles later.
So what do you think is next for the Star Wars franchise here? Where do they go? Do you think they try and keep it around Christmas every year now and not play around with a May-June release again?
Well, it's so crazy that you mentioned that they, you know, Disney obviously owns Star Wars now. Disney owns Marvel. And so for them to have put Infinity War out when they did and then to think that they could do a 1-2 punch with Solo, I think was a little bit of a bold strategy. And as it is, you know, Disney and Star Wars owns December. I think they should stick to that. I mean, if you come out with one Star Wars movie a year and that is in December, you're going to clean up the market. And that's not going to change, even if Solo is underwhelming and not as developed of a story as you want. I mean, I definitely think you have to stick to that and stop competing with your properties.
Hey, just out of curiosity, this is going to be coming at the end of the month, but we've got Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom. Do you think the producers and Universal are feeling the Solo effect yet? Do you think they're stressing out?
I hope so. I hope to goodness that they are, because Jurassic Park as a franchise is known for getting worse with each movie. And I mean, the moviegoers getting more critical and getting more nitpicky of these big ticket box office movies. So I kind of hope that they are worried about it a little bit, because Fallen Kingdom can be, at best, it'll do decent. At worst, it's going to be a flop.
Yeah, they've been marketing the heck out of it. I mean, I went to Dairy Queen yesterday with my 5-year-old and all the cups are Jurassic Park. I went to the grocery store, all the Pepsi cans are Jurassic Park. They're doing everything in their power to make sure it doesn't happen. I'm going to be very interested. I think the first week's going to say a lot. I think it'll come out and do well. And if the schoolyard effect is positive and the reviews are positive, it'll have legs. If it's bad, I think it's going to be very Solo-esque. But it may be bigger internationally. I feel like Jurassic Park always does great internationally, and Solo is not putting up the numbers there. That's where it's really hurting them.
That's an interesting point to make.
All right, I think that's it. I think we've covered all the Solo stuff that we wanted to get into. Again, this is meant to be a shorter episode. We're going to be back on Wednesday, and we're taking part in the Universal Monsters podcast extravaganza. 8 different podcasts, 8 different movies. Really looking forward to hearing some of the other guys and what they're going to cover. We're going to be diving into Dracula from 1931, I believe. And it's going to be interesting. I have never watched that movie. JD, anything you want to preview on the Dracula episode?
As you know, I am a huge fan of vampire movie cinema, and I've done a decent amount of comparative research and actually wrote a documentary called Nightfall that came out on vampire movie history. And you can rent that on Amazon if you feel like being bored for an hour and a half. But no, I'm personally very fond of the mythology that goes into vampire movies and the lore that is created, and every aspect from how anybody who's ever portrayed a vampire, they do so very deliberately. It's a very chosen methodology, from everything from how they present the fangs to how they disappear into the darkness. And, you know, we're looking at one of the granddaddies of vampire movies and, you know, the burgeoning Universal movie monster. that whole experience. So like I'm very excited to be a part of this. So this will be fun.
Hey JD, what's your favorite Dracula movie or vampire movie, and why is it Twilight?
You know what, Kyle? One, I hate you. Two, you're an asshole. Three, go die. I've never seen a minute of a Twilight movie.
But you did read the books, though.
Well, I've got the first chapter tattooed across my back, line for line.
Nice. I did watch that with my wife in college, though.
She made I made fun of you for that. Don't you remember?
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
Thank you. Lost Boys. I mean, I'm a sucker for Lost Boys. I think they do a fantastic job of reinventing that whole mythology for an era that was just so punk in California at the time, and I thought that was pretty badass.
I can't wait till we do Lost Boys Week.
Yeah, why have we not done that yet?
Okay, I'm penciling it in for episode 49.
What are we going to do for episode 69?
69. Billy Madison? I mean, that seems fitting, right?
That's a great idea. I like that.
There you go. So you guys just found out 49 and 69. They're coming.
That's what she said.
So check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Everything's at Back in Time Pod. You can shoot us an email at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, YouTube, Podbean. I mean, pretty much anything. Just check us out on there. Give us a subscribe. And give us some feedback. Let us know what you like about the show, what you want us to cover next. And we'll be sure to either throw it on a poll topic or just flat out do it if we feel like it. Other than that, it's time to hop into the DeLorean and jump back into this week. We'll be back with Dracula on Wednesday. For now, we'll see ya.
I want to suck your blood.